What would national hunt racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice, because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with 8 or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, and it is a very warm weekend on a very cold Friday morning. The From the Horse's Mouth weekend tipping is here. It's now the regular twosome of Rory De Largy and Joe Logue. How are we? Are we in Ireland? Are we in the UK? Are we snowing where it is in Wicklow at the moment, Rory?
Well, it's not. It's the sun's actually come out here in Hampshire. But it has been absolutely tipping down all morning, which doesn't make me feel enormously confident about Newbury. Going ahead for the 2 days, but they had an inspection today. So I fear that we'll have more rain, and that might put matters in jeopardy. But the sun is shining at the moment, trying to pretend that everything's all right, but we know it's not.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, Joe. How are you? How's your weather report?
Yeah, I'm good. I was working late last night and up early, crack of dawn here for an early recording. It's snowing outside. A hot cup of coffee next to me to keep me going. But it's looking. Looking grey and, grey and white outside.
Grey and white. Up early. Whose idea was this very early recording, by the way? I can't remember. Was this my idea? I can't remember. It might have been.
I just follow orders, PK.
It was someone's idea. Yeah, we're recording at 8:40 a.m. where we started at 8:30. And we're looking ahead to the weekend's racing. As Rory rightly said, Newbury possibly could be gone. We're going to look at a couple of races, but we'll put them to the end of the show in case that does get abandoned. But before we get cracking, lads, a few notes from producer Mark and producer Kira as well. 2 weeks to go from today, this being Friday, for the Cheltenham Fan Zone. Get your tickets, link in the show notes. It's filling up, so make sure you're there. Camden in Dublin City on Gold Cup Friday. Paddy Power. Booking out the entire place. Drinks, bets, crack, the whole lot. Really good fun. Don't forget the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Loads of good stuff there. Rewinds and Cheltenham previews are plenty for you to check out. And also check out on paddypower.com. Turbo Power prices daily in the run-up to the Cheltenham Festival. There's some big enhancements too. Okay, that's the show notes done. We crack on. We're going to look at Kelso first. Then we're going to go to Doncaster. Then we're going to go to Newbury. But I cannot start the podcast, Joe Logue, without mentioning your 16-1 winner last week in the Saudi Cup, Senor Buscador, who just always looked like he was going to win, right?
it was a bit of a sweat coming out the home straight. He did exactly what we thought he'd do, and he'd leave it, till the last minute. Thankfully, he got up just about last weekend. But yeah, it's always good to back a big price winner in the big races. So it was brilliant. Got a few texts. I was actually on the way to Shelbourne Park on the train, watching it on my phone with dodgy signal. But it was great. Great that people backed it, and a lovely price winner to end a good Saturday racing.
Absolutely. No, it was a cracking way to finish. It was an excellent meeting. Of course, Tara London getting out of jail under Ryan Moore, who's making a habit of these. Unbelievable. I think that was more lucky than unbelievable, to be fair. But on Tara London, and then Luxembourg, a bit disappointing. But it was a great meeting. So we're going to get your thoughts on Maidan, because your record in these international meetings. You did used to trade on the old international, but you don't do it much anymore, do you?
Yeah, I was actually working late last night, now till 11, doing the international. So we do US hours trading. I'm trying to think what was on. Aqueduct and Gulfstream ran last night. So
Finger Lakes.
Yeah, exactly.
The crackers.
So yeah, I was up late trading that last night. Still apply to trade there. I suppose not as often as I used to, but yeah, I think good dirt racing is really interesting. It's a good puzzle to solve, and it's like the Hollywood of racing. You don't see trainers like Bob Baffert in Ireland, with silver shiny hair and tinted sunglasses. It's Hollywood.
Yeah, there's a big difference between Bob Baffert and Mouse Morris. I think you've got to go a fair way.
Hold on a second.
Go on.
Tinted glasses, silver hair.
Yeah, well,
that's exactly the same to me.
The silver hair is more from the cigarette
out the corner of his mouth. Is that Bob Baffert as well?
Yeah, and one is slightly more erudite than the other. You can definitely understand one anyway. The drawl of Bob versus, I don't know what you'd call Mace Morris's accent, but it's hard to understand. Right, we talk about this weekend's racing. As I said, we're going to go to Kelso, Doncaster. Quick look at Newbury. We're going to start with the 1:42 at Kelso. It is the handicap hurdle over 2 mile 5 furlong. And Joe, you can fill me in if this is a monster gamble or if there's been a big shakeup in the anti-post market, because I have 12s into fours, the Kaluki kid. It's O'Fury 9-2, 5-1 Pentland Hills for Nicky Henderson, who'd be desperate for a couple of winners this weekend. 5-1 Serious Operator for Lucinda Russell and 13-2 Brewing Up a Storm. Did we lose a notable absentee in the anti-post market, or has Kaluki kid just been really well backed?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot, PK. It's off for the last couple of days, bar last night, where it's kind of on the international. So I'm not completely up to date with how the markets were moving. But I'm not too sure if Ernest come out or if he's been really well backed. But you can see the case from, I suppose, he won at Musselburgh, won at Newcastle, and then, you know, wasn't disgraced behind Jericho de Repene in a grade two last time out. But I was kind of looking elsewhere when I looked at this race, and I was siding with Foster's Island from Mickey Hammond. Emma Smith-Chaston takes the ride. I think he's interesting, and I suppose you're kind of looking for him to improve a bit, rather than what, you know, he doesn't have tons of real good form on the page. But look, he's first run off a wind up. His run two runs ago against Santos Blue catches the eye. They were essentially running off levels, taking into account the jockey's claims that day. Santos Blue's now rated 132. Foster's Island now rated 124. Emma Smith-Chaston, like I said, is taking off a further three. He's going to like the ground in the trip. It's his first run off wind up, like I said. And look, you can play him each way. I think he's around 10-1 mark. I think it's a trappy enough race, so I'm happy to take one at the price here.
What issues with the naming of that horse? Foster's Island with the apostrophe after the or into the S, but then they don't put the gap between Foster's and Island. Anyway, okay. These are the really annoying things that get me. Rory, your thoughts?
I could see why 12-1 would have been a very interesting price by the Kaluki kid, because of course the horses that finished in front of him last time out of, you know, Jericho de Repene won, and then the second and third were first and second in a grade two at Kempton. So it makes sense that the unexposed, the Kaluki kid, would be well backed for this. But the one I like here is Serious Operator, course and distance winner for Lucinda Russell. I put him in my notebook. I made a note of him in my Irish Field column a few weeks ago when he finished fifth in the Lanzarote at Kempton. I thought he was the eye catcher of the beaten horses that day. I didn't get the clearest of runs through. Wasn't particularly well fancied and ran on to be fifth. I thought that was a likable performance. On his previous start, he beat Pentland Hills, who's around the same price as he is here at Doncaster. I thought he did that pretty well. He's going the right way. Pentland Hills is fully exposed now. I mean, he really hasn't improved since his debut over hurdles, if you like. Well, not his debut over hurdles, but he was into the triumph hurdle on the back of a run-up, was it Plumpton? And caused a bit of a shock that day, and he hasn't quite achieved what they thought he would subsequently. And I'd fancy Serious Operator to confirm that form. Patrick Wadge back on board. He's been on board for wins at Erin Doncaster in the last 12 months. I think he sits the horse well. I don't think Alan Doyle got the best out of him last time out, but I thought Serious Operator had plenty to recommend him here, and I thought he'd go very close.
Mm. Yeah, just speaking of Pendleton Hills, did win Plumpton, very good, before winning that triumph hurdle. Obviously, we're all keeping a close eye on the Nicky Henderson horses with the Constitution Hill story in the background. It's been well flagged up, but just in case you haven't seen, one winner from his last 10 runners, and his last 8 runners pulled up fifth. Going into Friday afternoon race. I'm not sure if he's got any runners on Friday afternoon. So he'd be keen for a couple of winners, would be Nicky Henderson and a good blood test from the main man himself. Right, we move on to the 217, which is the Premier Novice Hurdle at grade two. And speaking of Nicky Henderson, he's got Django Bay by, one for you, one for the Cork boys, Django Bay, 6-4, Personal Ambition for Ben Pauling, Keelan Woods, who's back in the saddle, 9-2, 11-2, Alan Lamb for Anthony Charlton. You've got an Irish rider in Stuart Crawford's Brucio. Daryl Jacob obviously rides. Another Irish rider for John McConnell is Intense Approach at 14s. A big field here for a grade two novice hurdle, Rory. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, it's a good race that the Kells have put on, and it comes at a good time of the season as well for horses. They're not quite good enough to be going to Cheltenham, where it comes too soon for them. And it's a pretty competitive affair. Django Bay sets the standard, although he's a wee bit disappointing in the that Sydney Banks at Huntingdon last time out, when he was beaten by that Ben Pauling's horse. What was he called? Handstand.
Handstands.
Yeah, Handstands lose a good prospect, but Django Bay just looked Looks a little bit flat there, and I think he's probably flattered by the margin of his success in the form being obviously hurdle at entry earlier in the season. You wouldn't be mad to back him at 2-1 or shorter with the form of the Henderson horses at the moment. He's got one shoe to run at Newbury today, and Nicky, but that's the only one he has. So I'll be interested to see if that goes ahead and how that horse gets on. But yeah, I wouldn't be in a rush to back Django by 15 lengths behind him that day was Cannock Park. I think he's quite an interesting contender here for Paul Robson, son of Cannock Chase. He won his first two starts, still looking green as grass when he won at Cheltenham in November. And he picked up well. He looked like he had the race in the bag at the last, and looked like he might get run down, but picked up well again to hold on. On paper, you struggle to see him turning the form around with Django By, but I think he's progressing all the time. And I think he's capable of hitting the frame here at a biggish price. Paul Robson, he was a very, very good jockey, Paul Robson, but massively injury prone. I think he had a constantly dislocating shoulder. He was a promising rider for Nicky Richards. He actually made a comeback a couple of seasons ago after nearly 10 years out of the saddle. But again, that didn't really work out for him, and he started training. It's a very interesting setup because he's also running he's also a funeral director, and he's made the money to train horses on the back of this business that the family have run for maybe 100 years, and he's done a remarkably good job with the horses he had this season. So I'd like to see Cannock Park doing proud, and you can be pretty sure, given where Paul Robson's from, that this has been the race that they've been aiming Cannock Park at all season. So I think he'd hit the frame at least, and he's about what is it, 8-1, 9-1 shot.
Yep.
I think he makes a fair bit of appeal each way.
That's quite the pivot from funeral director jockey to funeral director to trainer. Two of the three are related, I think it's fair to say. But yeah, Cannock Park 9-1 at the time of recording on Friday morning. I will relate to the dislocated shoulders. I'll fill you all in on my travails on that front. But Joe, give us a winner first.
I actually struggled a small bit, PK, to find the winner here. But I do agree with Rory and with the favourite Django By, kind of fell in at Aintree that day, like Rory said, and I backed them last time in the Sydney Banks, and it was pretty disappointing, I thought. Maybe didn't get the greatest ride ever out the back, but I thought he still, you know, looking at the race on paper, I thought he should have the winning that race easy enough on form. Again, I thought Cannock Park was interesting, like Rory. I thought Al Niam for Anthony Charlton was quite interesting. He's rated 78 on the flat, was fourth in a maiden hurdle at Newbury to Into the Park, and then was impressive last time out, winning by 13 lengths at Kelso. And Bruce Yeo's in here as well, for Crawford, won the mare's listed handicap hurdle at the DRF off of mark of 116. Now she's rated 127 in Ireland, 132. She's getting all the weight from the geldings. Again, look, I couldn't put anyone off Cannock Park, Al Niam, or Bruce Yeo here, but I think, like Rory, I'd be very reluctant to back the favourite with Henderson's form, with the price that the favourite is, and you could pick holes in his form as well. I think he's a pretty bad favourite here at 6-4, one that we'd be kind of keen to take on in the trading room, and one that I, you know, couldn't put anyone off backing something against it.
All right. Well, on that note, producer Mark, just while we're chatting about Nicky, while you guys were chatting about the race, put into the chat there, should we price up Nicky Henderson not to train a winner at Cheltenham? Filthy.
I'll tell you, you definitely get one person interested in that, and that's Nicky Henderson.
Yeah.
Who famously backed himself to have no winners at the festival about 10 years ago when Bobsworth won the Albert Bartlett. And Nicky ended up having a tremendous festival, but he was really worried going into it. And Edward Gillespie suggested to him that he should have a big bet on himself to have no winners, and that would take the edge off it. Which caused a wee bit of consternation at the time.
I can imagine. Yeah. It's probably not something.
In fairness, if he ended up with no winners and he had a big bet on it, that might have been a big issue. But it's a bit like Henrietta Knight backing everything else against Best Mate. It was, you know, superstition more than anything else.
And hedging to a degree as well, I suppose. So yeah. Well, producer Mark's twisting the knife. I've been at Hendo all season, so I'll let producer Mark continue with that one. If it appears on site, great. I wonder what price it'll be. Be a big price, I'd like to think. He's the running theme today because of Kelso and the 250, the Moor Battle Hurdle, a race that will forever be known as the Nicky Henderson got a 1-25 shot beaten in this race. So what price was Einar? Was he, Rory? Was he 1-14?
He was 1-14, 1-16, something like that.
Yeah,
it was QE2 that beat him, wasn't it?
Oh, QE2. Is that
that's 14 years ago. He was well named QE2. He was a massive boat. And Zaynar was 1-14.
1-14, beaten in this race. Back then, it wasn't a handicap, it was a conditions race. Zaynar was prepping for the champion hurdle, and he got beat at 1-14. Well, Nicky Henderson sends up under control on this occasion. It is obviously the bonus race as well. You get $100,000 bonus if you win a handicap or a race at the Cheltenham Festival on the back of this. And under control, big drifter before being taken out at the Betfair Hurdle, 11-4 favourite. 4-1, Black Hawk Eagle, easy for me to say, for Kerry Lee. 7-1, Salsada, then for Brian Ellison, Daryl Jacob. Dan Skelton, Tristan Durrell got Sky Cutter. Jimmy Moffat's got Bingo, who's 8-1, and it's 10-1, Benson. Okay, Rory, the more battle hurdle. Again, this probably is the theme. Are we going to avoid Henderson?
Yeah, I mean, under control is very interesting here, and there's plenty of talk about her being a plot for Cheltenham, but looking to pick up the big bonus that goes on here. It's worth pointing out, when people are talking about horses being plotted up for Cheltenham, there's more money available for the Moor Battle Hurdle than there is for the County Hurdle or for the Coral Cup or any of those races. This is more valuable. So it's a bit daft to be setting a horse up via this race for Cheltenham, although with a bonus, if you think you'll be able to get both of them, then that's worth bearing in mind. But yeah, the idea that this is kind of a quiet prep for something else doesn't do justice to the Moor Battle, which Kelso have done a really good job with. I had a rant last week about the quality of Saturday racing, and Kelso have done a really good job turning this meeting around. The Moor Battle, was often a really uncompetitive race. And this meeting, although it saw some good horses, it didn't see very competitive racing a lot of the time. And they've put a lot of money into the Moor Battle, and they've plugged it hard, and it's worked. It's a really good race now. It still doesn't get quite the number of entries that it should get compared to races like the handicaps at the festival, but that's life. But I thought it was a really, really good field. I put one up anti-post for this race, which is an awful lot shorter now, but I'm going to put that up anyway, because that's the way of things. I thought Black Hawk Eagle is the most interesting horse in this race. He's a lot shorter now than he was when the market opened. He's about 11 or 12 to 1 when the market opened. But he's a Kerry Lee special, really. She won at this meeting last year. She's only had 3 runners at Kelso, and 2 of those have won. This horse was quite useful for Noel Mead. He showed plenty of ability over hurdles, but was mostly campaigned on the flat in recent times for Noel. Needed the run quite badly on debut for Kerry Lee. Came on and landed a bit of a gamble at Wincanton on Boxing Day. And then he went to Hereford and followed up. It wasn't the strongest of races he was in at Hereford last time out, but my God, did he bolt up. He's only won a length and 3/4. He could have won as far as he wanted that day. I thought it was a very clever ride by Richard Patrick, who's managed to make it look like it was vaguely hard work when really he had his hands full the whole way round. Never even thought about going for a stick. Went on the worst of the ground up the inside. You don't want to be coming from off the pace at Hereford because it's quite a sharp track. But he basically allowed the others to get first run and then picked them off easily from the last. Really impressive performance when you go back and watch it. And just what the doctor ordered, gets him a 6-pound rise in the weights. So he comes in here with a mark of 122. There's no danger of thinking about Cheltenham handicaps to the horse like this. And I think that's where Kerry Lee's very clever. She knows that there's good money available for races like this. And she also knows she can go to the Swinton if he wins this next time out, and he'll still get a good weight in that sort of contest while everyone else is banging their heads against each other and going for Cheltenham handicaps. So I thought Black Hawk Eagle, could improve further. He handles testing ground, but his 2 wins have been in sort of soft and good to soft. So the ground's been good to soft, and the Clark has basically said the track's in very good condition. There is a bit of rain coming tomorrow, but I don't think it's going to get really deep. I think it's going to be on the soft side. Maybe soft, maybe good to soft, but not really testing. I think that will sit Black Hawk Eagle down to the ground. I think he's still very well treated at 1-2-2, and he would be, he was a very confident anti-post bet. When I put him up, obviously the price is getting shorter now, but I'm still going to stick with him.
That is a compelling case made for Black Hawk Eagle. Joe, the floor is yours.
I'm siding with Jimmy Moffat here. Bingo ticks all the boxes for me. Looks like there's going to be loads of pace on here, so I'm kind of looking for something that can be, held up if needed. And Bingo can be held up, has gone forward previously, and has form over 2.5 miles. I'm kind of hoping that, they come, the front runners stop basically, and he can come and pick up the pieces. Look, he won last time out at Aintree over 2.5 miles, and that's where you're kind of getting the form over further than 2. But in fairness, they did go no gallop and it was a bit of a sprint finish. But look, I think they can hold him up and be patient with him. He's only had one run this season, winning at Ancient. Like I said, he beat Ted Hastings of Gordon Elliott off a mark of 124. He's now rated 130. Like, he's pretty unexposed as well. He's only, you know, six runs over hurdles. He's won four, only two handicap runs, and looks to me like a horse that can continue to improve. And, you know, he's only had one run this season. I haven't heard, you know, if he's missed time for any other reason, but looks like a horse that maybe has been laid out and targeted for the race. So, yeah, bingo for me.
Right. Two good cases there, to be fair. And fair play if Jimmy Moffat can find a race at Cartmel for bingo. I think it might be too highly rated. 130. Of course, he's famous for his winners.
Just before we move on from that, I just want to mention bingo as well. The owner breeders of this have done really well. They've got three horses running this season who are all full siblings. This horse, Bingo, Titan Discovery, and Lunar Discovery, and they've all been running really well, winning races. Over the last 12 months, they picked up about 7 or 8 wins with these three horses. They're all very closely bred. Not really fancy breeding at all either. I think the other two are half or full siblings, and Bingo's a half sibling by Eastern Anthem. Quite cheaply bred, but fair play to the connections who've really found the key with that breeding angle and are reaping the rewards. So fair play.
All right, nice breeding update there as well regarding B-I-N-G-O-O, Bingo. Black Hawk Eagle, two good selections, it seems like, in that. And I'm sure there'll be at least five places in the race, big field, for the big Moor Battle hurdle. And also, Kelso, we've got the Premier Chase, which is nearly 3 miles. And is this going to be a prep for the Grand National for Mombeg Genius, who would cause so many wonderful stories were he to win? Would be one of the great stories for the game if Mombeg Genius was to win the Grand National. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just put in Mombeg Genius Grand National owners.
Yeah, bigger protest in the industry this year than there was last year at Mombeg Genius.
Do you know what the protesters should wear? PPE gear. As they come out onto the course. So Mombeg Genius for the John Joes O'Neill Senior and Junior is a 13-to-8 favourite as he preps for the National. I write for Craig Nicol, Harry Gray, Gary Rutherford is 3-to-1. Elvis Mail for Nick Alexander, who had a good winner recently, 9-to-2. Thunder Rock for Ollie Murphy, 11-to-2. 7-to-1 Manila Drama and 2 double figure odds. All right, Joe, the Premier Chase, sticker twist with Mombeg Genius.
Probably stick for me. Look, he's the obvious one. And like you said, it's kind of been a big talking horse all season. I think he's Antipost's favourite for the Welsh Grand National for a long time, but comes here now off a mark of 147. Grand National weights have been announced, so, you know, they can put the foot down now, I suppose, and they're not getting punished for that. He's only had two runs all season, and his third in the Carl Trophy at Newbury is clear standout form. I think, you know, off that run, he should be well in here off this mark, and I find it kind of hard, especially with only 7 runners. I think it's hard to make a case for anything against him. He's sub 2-to-1 PK, I'd say, is he?
13-to-8, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit skinny. I think he's the most obvious winner. I can't find anything against him. His price, it's just a price thing for me. I probably wouldn't be steaming and backing him, but like I said, I think he's the most obvious winner.
Yeah, if he got back at twos, you might be interested or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Absolutely, yeah,
absolutely. Okay, fair enough. Rory, Mombeg, I like the way Joe said, one of the talking horses of the season there. Yeah, he has been. You're right.
He has been. Not really been about him. Although, he was expected to run in the Welsh National. He's expected to run in the Classic Chase at Warwick. And in fairness, John Joe O'Neill has said that he wasn't happy with the horse. And in the middle of January, you know, the people were asking about him because of the Grand National. He said, well, the horse still isn't right. Obviously he's been very patient and he's probably coming to himself now, but they're getting to the stage where they need to run him. So I just wonder whether this is a kind of a last chance saloon and John Joe still might not be entirely 100% happy with the horse, but if you don't run him now, you're not going to get him right for the Grand National. And therefore they're basically coming here and thinking, well, we'll see where we are with him. And I don't really want to back horses at 13-to-8, where it's a case of let's see where we are. He could bolt up. He's clearly got improvement in him. He's younger than most of these, but I would rather at the prices back I write, who obviously is in the veteran category now. He's 11 years old, but he's got very good form over the years, and essentially in the last 3 years he's run one poor race. He's been keeping good company in veterans chases this season, off high marks as well. So generally giving way to win those races. He ran in the veterans final at Warwick last time out of a mark of 150 on ground that was too soft for him, I would say. He's a horse who wants good to soft, soft at the very worst ground. And he was beaten by Sam Brown. Now, Sam Brown's a little bit in and out, but on his day and on soft ground, he's a very, very good horse. The pair of them pulled 12 lengths clear in what was, as we know, with the veterans final, very, very competitive race. So I thought it was another really solid performance from Eye-Right. And although, you know, this is a tough race on paper, you know, he's been running in some very, very good races over the years, and he seems to basically give his running every time. So he's not a sexy horse anymore. You know, when you get to, you're looking at 11-year-olds in good chases, you tend to automatically go past them thinking, right, well, they can't possibly improve. Therefore, let's find something that's going to progress. But he's very solid. And I think I think there's a fair chance that Mombay Genius doesn't run his race. I mean, we have this discussion every now and again when I fancy one of John Joe's. I've absolutely no idea where I stand with John Joe's. And even if you speak to him, if you take him to the side and have a word, he will happily tell you what you want to hear, and you'll think you know where you stand, and you still don't. So I've no idea what to expect of Mombay Genius, but I certainly won't be steaming in at a short price. And if he doesn't run his race, then Eye-Right looks a decent bet at 3-1.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
All right, keep an eye out for Eye-Right in the Premier Chase. That's Kelso wrapped up. We'll go to Doncaster for a handicap chase and on Grimthorpe Day. The first race, the 2:35 we're going to look at, is a two-miler. Publique and Tommy's Oscar are the joint favourites on Friday morning at 5-2, just from Nube Negra. Melistic for Peter Niven at 5-1, and then it's 12-1 and Big of the Rest. Nothing from Joe in this race, Rory, so the floor is yours. Tommy's Oscar got a name check from Ruby for the Grand Annual, but you both rightly said like Cheltenham's not his track.
Well, no, I don't think Cheltenham's not his track.
Oh,
it's just that Ian Hamilton has said after he was beaten last season as a novice at Cheltenham, he said we're not going to come back here again. It's not his track. He was beaten by Banbridge for crying out loud, and he finished seconds. And he's been beaten twice at Cheltenham. The previous defeat came in the Champion Hurdle. So he's been beating the Champion Hurdle, and he's finished second to Banbridge in a novice chase, and suddenly he's not a Cheltenham horse. I just think that's absolute nonsense. And what they've done with him, now, Anne Hamilton has got tremendous results over the years with the horses she's picked up, most of them coming from Irish points, not costing a fortune. The strike rate has been remarkable, and they've got a lot of multiple winners, and Tommy's Oscar is another off that conveyor belt. So I've got a lot of respect for what they've actually achieved with the horses. But this notion that, he's not a Cheltenham horse, and then not realizing you can take horses to Ireland to race. He'd have been perfect for the good 2 mile chase over Christmas, the Dial a Bet. Is it still the Dial a Bet?
No, we'll call it. It's part of the company. Yeah. So let's go with it. Yeah. It's the Paddy Power something.
Yes. So I thought that would be a good race to run him in, but instead what they've done, they've tried running him over longer trips, which is not his thing. He's a 2 miler through and through. He didn't get home over 2.5 at Musselburgh last time out. They tried him over 2.5 in the old Roan as well. This is the trip that he wants. And I thought he was really impressive at Kelso in his reappearance, but you can see from how he's been campaigning since that they think there are no races for him. This clearly is a race they would have been aware of for a fair while. And I think Tommy's Oscar dropped back to 2 miles on ground that is, again, liable to be no worse than soft. I think he'll be able to show exactly what he's capable of doing, and he's the best horse in this race for me, and I think he's got a massive chance.
Okay, there's a couple of you're in juicier form this Saturday. I think it's fair to say,
whether it works or not, I don't know, but I feel more confident this week than I have for a while.
Well, we haven't had episode one of Rory's rants yet, so yeah, I think you're definitely in juicier form than last week after the couple of rants. 3:10 Doncaster, we're on to the mare's novice listed hurdle race over 3 miles. Lunar Discovery for same owner, same trainer as Bingo. As you mentioned earlier, Rory, Lunar Discovery, 15-8 favorite for James Moffat. Charlotte Jones will ride. Big ride for her. Sean Quinlan and Stuart Crawford combined with Otizini, who's 7-2. Don't You Want Me for Craig Lidster, 5-1. And Gay Legacy for Tom Simmons at 5-1. One of these, I'm going to be harsh here, one of these not how do I phrase this? Big yards is going to take a big prize, you would assume. Obviously, you've got Dan Skelton, John Janiel, and others at bigger prices. I'm going to go to you, Joe, because you're back in the shed for this one.
Yeah, there looks to be plenty of horses in here that need to find on ratings, and this is my second Jimmy Moffat horse that I'm tipping for the weekend. He's going to have a cross card double, but look, Lunar Discovery for me looks to be clearly the best horse in the race. She's top rated with a mark of 125, which is £1 higher than Ottozini, who's giving her £3 here. Look, her form is pretty solid. A bumper, a hurdle winner. She was second to Paul Purry at Haydock, and she was second last time out at Carlisle as well. But look, both times are over 2.5 miles, and she just looks very, very slow. I mean, Charlotte Jones has her work cut out trying to, you know, spur her on, and like the horse just looks like she's running on the spot for a while, but she's up to 3 miles here. Should see her to best effect. I think she's a worthy short price favourite, one that I prefer to side with than be against. And look, just like I said, there's plenty in here to need to find on ratings. Looking towards the front end of the market, I think she's a cracking chance here. And look, it's Charlotte Jones is obviously the stable jockey. It's a big kind of vote of confidence that she's going to Doncaster to ride Lunar Discovery. So look, this is maybe the more fancied of the runners, and you know, the more battles an ultra competitive handicap, which is fair enough. You know, it's a very hard to strongly fancy one in that. So look, it's a big nod of approval that Lunar Discovery gets the stable jockey here. I think she's worthy favorite and one that, you know, I'd probably be very confident on.
That's a lot of confidence oozing from the two of you today. Is Lunar Discovery, Rory, the answer in the table quiz question? I'm not sure if it was the first one, but it was one of the first horses to get done for the jockey whip rule, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Charlotte Jones, I think she was disqualified whatever, a week later. I don't know if it was the first one, but it was definitely one of the first.
It might well have been. There haven't been that many, have there? I mean, that's the whole point, as everyone said at the time, the point about the rule is you don't need one or two disqualifications for that never to be an issue again.
Yeah.
There was one at Market Raisin as well, wasn't there? But yeah, yes, an interesting quiz question.
Yeah, sorry. Producer Mark is in the chat. He's castigating me for not remembering that it was the Paddy Power Rewards Club Chase that was the race. But I remember that horse was the one that was disqualified for the whip rules. Yes, I'm not as much a company man as you, Producer Mark. Sorry. Rory, your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, I like Lunar Discovery as well. Again, I made the point that Kevin and Anne Glastonbury, who own this, have done very well with these horses they've bred. And again, the sires that they've used, Eastern Anthem and Pethers Moon, wouldn't be the most popular in the market either, but they've got really good results. Jimmy Moffat trains two of them. The other one, Titan Discovery, is trained by Robbie Llewellyn, and that's owned in partnership with a couple of other people as well. So that's trained elsewhere, but it's done really well this season as well. And Lunar Discovery, yeah, she's not the fastest in the world. She's a bit of a grinder, and suppose you'd want to see a little bit of rain. Everyone's going to get some rain, but less up north and down south. The going's sort of good to soft in places at the moment. Probably ends up soft all over on the hurdles track, but it doesn't tend to get as deep at Doncaster as it does elsewhere. It's a track that's been relayed in the reasonably recent past. But I think the benefit for her is a big galloping track will suit. You know, she's been racing on the likes of Hexham, and I know Hexham's got quite a stiff finish, but it's sharp enough in on the bends at times. Before that's to finish, she was then beaten at this company at Haydock a couple of starts ago. The only slight negative you can throw in there is that, of course, Charlotte's not able to claim again in this grade of race. You know, she was claiming her £3 last time. She wasn't claiming three when Lunar Discovery was beaten at Haydock. But I think even a repeat of that form would see her go very close indeed. The main danger, arguably on form, is Ottozini, who probably was gifted too much of a lead when she won at Musselburgh last time out. But at the same time, I think that probably was an improved piece of form from her. She, of course, was behind Brighter Days Ahead earlier in the season at Down Royal, and maybe a poor run after that might have been, you know, just reeling from the shock of coming up against Brighter Days Ahead. But she won well last time out, and she'll look to make it again. But whether she'd be happier on a sharper track is the question for me. And Lunar Discovery looks the likeliest winner. For all, she's more the correct price than massive value.
Double vote, though, for Lunar Discovery. What a day it's going to be for Jimmy Moffat. He's going to think it's a bank holiday weekend midsummer, and he's just firing in winners at Carmel today. But it's going to be Kelso and Doncaster. One more race at Donny to look at. It's the Grimthorpe Chase, 3 miles, 2 furlongs, handicap chase. 11-4, some scope. Who's a fast improving 6-year-old for Richard Hobson. Gavin Sheehan looking for 3 wins on the trot. The Antipost Gamble under supervision for Nigel and Sam Twiston Davies was double figure odds earlier in the week, now only 5s. 7-1 for Java Point, 8-1 Earn River for Nick Kent, 9-1 Certainly Red, and 10-1 Does He Know the Classy Horse. Rory, back to you for the Grimthorpe.
Earn River is a solid each way poke here. He shows his best form at Doncaster. He probably found the ground quick enough for him in the Great Yorkshire Chase last time out. He still ran a creditable fifth, rewarding each way support for most people betting on that 18 runner race. And I think he couldn't quite get in terms of, with a couple of faster horses. The form's really worked out with Forward Plan, impressive at Kempton in that Coral Trophy last week. Forward Plan was beaten a nose by Annual Invictus, who was well handicapped on his best form. So the form makes an awful lot of sense. And I thought Earn River, again, you know, looked like he was on a fair mark. He'd won in his previous start here and got up to a mark of 137. He's still off that mark now, but I think the slightly softer ground will suit him on this occasion. He wore cheek pieces for the first time when successful 2 starts ago, and they certainly helped him. And I think the run last time out was more than adequate. And I'd be disappointed if he's out of the frame. So, yeah, under supervision's a horse. He obviously won this race a couple of years ago, but he's been punted a few times, and his form figures are not exactly inspiring, are they? He does throw in the occasional good run, but there's a lot of P's on his form card, and he's in danger of becoming disappointing, so he's not one I really want to be backing at the price. Stump Scope won well here last time out and is an obvious favourite. He's gone up £10, though, for that easy win. And although he did win with a fair bit to spare, they were weaker horses he was meeting on that occasion. So I thought he was, while I wouldn't be surprised if he won, I thought he was short enough, given he's taken quite a jump in the ratings for that win. So this looks like an each-way race to me, and Earn River is more reliable than most around here.
Call those colours like the Milky Moo colours. Do you have those sweets in the UK, Rory? Milky Moos?
No, I don't think we do.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Joe? The Milky Moo sweets?
Yeah.
Those colours are really similar to the Milky Moo sweets, which were a strange combination of milk and mint. It's not something you think would work, right?
So good, though.
Oh, they are. They're very tasty. Yeah. Just a bizarre combination. That's the stuff I think about. Joe, give us a winner.
I agree with Rory here. I think, Some Scope is the obvious favourite, the right favourite. Perhaps hard to know where the seeding is with him. Like Roy said, he was impressive enough last time out. He's gone off short, but look, £10 higher, stepping up in grade. I think there's, you know, a few negatives there that you'd be keen enough to take him on at a shortish price. I'm siding with Charlie Uberellis here. Probably won't want the ground too soft. Good to soft maybe should be okay. I thought his run last time out, it's the same form line Rory's looking at. Charlie Uberellis has campaigned in the summer on good ground, and like Rory said, the ground was kind of goodish at Doncaster last time out, so it definitely would have suited him. He was pulled up in the Welsh National before that. It definitely wasn't his bag, but he's only £1 higher than that run last time out behind Annual Invictus and Forward Plan, obviously. Gave the form a little bit of a boost there last weekend. So, look, I think it's a tricky enough contest. Like Rory, I'm keen enough to take on the favourite. And, Charlie Uberellis is a decent enough each-way price at somewhere around 10-1.
11-1 at the time of recording. Charlie Uberellis for Joe, Earn River for Rory in the Grimthorpe. Okay, we are now going to go back and look at Newbury under the assumption it goes ahead, which we're not very confident will. But there are a couple of races to look at, and you have done the prep, lads, so let's talk about them. The two races that were due to be shown on ITV are the 120 and the 155. The 120 is the Veterans Chase, and Omar Moretti for Alex Hales and Ryan Carver and Copperhead look like the two are going to go off towards the top of the market. Highland Hunter, Fergal O'Brien is 9-2, 11-2, 4-2. Right, Joe, nice and quick, please, in case this is off. Give us your winner in the 120 at Newbury.
Yeah, priced this up at the start of the week when the entries came out, Antipost, and I'd really like Copperhead pricing it, and I still like him. He's essentially dropping in grade here, making his Veterans Company debut. So, running well without winning since the end of last year, but he's been in kind of decent handicap chases against useful horses he's going to handle the ground. He was only beaten 2.5 lengths behind Quick Draw 2 runs ago, and Quick Draw is all of a sudden a wise guy horse now for Cheltenham handicaps because of
he had a good piece of work recently.
His form is pretty solid. These veteran chases aren't ones that I really like to get stuck into, but he sneaks in at bottom weight, and Freddie Gingell, who's a very good jockey, takes a further £5 off, which is going to be a huge help to him. Again, he's kind of running around without winning, and yeah, hopefully he does get his head in front here, so it's Copperhead for me.
Yeah, Quick Draw, who should have on his form figure now before he runs, is it the Kim Muir? Beat Constitution Hill 20 lengths in a gallop.
You need to do a special double, him and Any Harm in Asking, wherever that turns up next. The horses who've beaten Constitution Hill.
Exactly, yeah. He's still going. He's in the Derek Smith or the Gay Smith colours, isn't it? Yeah, that will be good. Rory, your thoughts on the veterans?
Yeah, I mean, Copperhead's got obvious claims here. I take issue with him dropping in class. He's into a... You can't be dropping in class and be out of the handicap. Joe's point is that this is... veterans races are a little bit less competitive because you're obviously ruling out the improving horses in it. He's won over course and distance before. He won the Mandarin as a young horse probably four seasons ago. He's found it tougher since Copperhead, but he's got obvious claims on paper here. Although his jumping isn't always the best, which is also an issue for Omar Moretti, who I wouldn't fancy here at all. The one I'd go for here, and I particularly like it because now Venetia Williams is officially out of form, but she's got a couple of horses on this card who, the way to get Venetia is back her chasers off an absence. There have been very few of those. You know, once she's run them all in November and December, they've all had a run, so they can't fit the bill afterwards. She's been quiet of late, but I think her last two have won now after a very quiet spell when a lot of them were running poorly. And Commodore is a horse who always goes best fresh. I know he didn't finish any closer than fifth last year, but he still ran his best race first time out off a mark of 142, which is way too high for him at Cheltenham. So he ended up dropping in the weights. He ran in the classic chase after that and was unplaced at Newbury in his final start. But he's now dropped a mark of 128. That's a lot more realistic for him. He won really well on his seasonal debut the previous season at Cheltenham, which saw him go up markedly in the weights. He was rated 133 that day, and he won by 15 lengths. The handicapper murdered him for it. He's not been competitive since, but he's now dropped £5 below that mark. And if he's ever going to win another race, it'll be this one, because he definitely goes best fresh. You obviously you get slight concerns about the form of the yard, but this has always been the angle with Venetia. And the fact is, although she's had, over the last 3 weeks, quite a lot of horses running disappointingly, two of the last three from the yard have been successful. Montgomery at Bangor a couple of days ago, and then Supervisor at Ludlow yesterday. So they're showing a bit more life than they had been for a while. And I'd expect Commodore to be at his peak, whatever that happens to be, as a 12-year-old. But I think he'll take a bit of beating.
All right, Copperhead and Commodore. Did you have a Commodore 64, Rory? Did you play on the old Commodore 64?
Only at school. Only at school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I tell you, the young kids now, your kids, your two, explain to them that you used to play a computer where you put a cassette in and the game would play off a cassette. That would blow their minds. You didn't just pick up a phone and just the game was there. It's like, we had to put a cassette in. Right, 155. It was a veterans chase, so I went down a veterans route. And now the Greatwood Gold Cup, always a great cause, wonderful initiative. The Greatwood team, they look after retired racehorses. 2.5 miles the trip here for this feature race at Newbury. Hopefully goes ahead. Grandeur Danver, Kingy, Alan King and Tom Canavan. Kingy, 7-2 favourite. High stakes player for Tom Lacey, 4-1. 5-1 the Can Do Kid for Paul Nichols and Harry Cobden. 13-2 Heltonham for Dan Skelton and Kieran Gethings after their lovely little jaunt. I say they. Stuart Edmonds and Kieran Gethings went to Thurles with a British runner and won a listed race. How dare they? of course, he's a brick little Kieran Gethings. And then at Sevens Bar. Okay, Rory, Greatwood Gold Cup, please.
Yeah, you notice on the back of that that Thurles win that all the English horses are now favourite for the great ones that apart from that one race, obviously. Again... I'd be slightly less confident about this because of the ground, but Gemerant for Venetia Williams, again, coming off an absence. He's entered up at Cheltenham as well. I don't know why he's been so late to come in, but he's been put in the plates and in the Grand Annual. I really liked his chances at Cheltenham last year. He didn't turn up in the end. He ran at this meeting, and I thought it was a really good second on ground that was quick enough. He then missed the festival and ran in the April meeting. We ran on that really good, the Silver Trophy chase, which used to be full of Ryanair type horses in the good old days. And I thought he ran very well there to be second. He got disqualified for crossing the third on the run-in, and he's not been seen since. Now, he handles soft ground well. Whether he wants it as heavy as some of Venetia's do is open to debate. But I thought he was progressive last season, despite the fact that he's got more twos than ones on his card. And I thought he was really game in this race last year, where the big bite travelled all over him, but Gemeron then rallied really well from the final fence and went down by a head in the end. And I thought I had him down as being a bit soft very early in his career, but I think he just needed time to strengthen up. He's still quite young. He's only 8. And although the absence is a concern, it's always less of a concern with Venetia than it is with other trainers. And I'll give Gemeron the chance of bouncing right back to his best and winning this, having finished second last year.
Venetia Williams will be doing the anti-rain dance for Newbury to hopefully goes ahead, because Rory reckons it's going to be a great afternoon for Joe.
A high stakes player for me, only rated 115 over hurdles, but has improved massively for fences. And I do like those horses that improve like that for fences, because it's very hard to know where the ceiling is. Again, he's down the bottom mark of 130. And look, he had a pretty decent absence. I'm just trying to open the race and post to find out how many days he was off. He's off 458. So he had 2 runs over fences. That's good back form, to be fair, looking back. Came out and won at Kempton in February off a huge layoff. And look, I think he's entitled to come on for that. He's entitled to step up in grade here and take his chance. He's still only an 8-year-old. So yeah, I'd be playing him each way here. I think he's somewhere around 5-1 PK. Four is he? Yeah, maybe win only at fours. But yeah, I think he's entitled to take his chance here. Look, he should improve off his run off a layoff. Stables runners are going really well as well. But look, it's not a massive shout. I thought it was a tricky enough race again.
Okay.
Interestingly, his previous start before that long absence, he beat Gemeron at Hereford. Giving him weight as well, so he's actually better off at the weight. Gemeron obviously has had plenty of racing since then and has improved, but you can certainly see the form line that gives high stakes player a big chance there.
Okay. All right. So that's the form line then. Gemeron and high stakes player, the two. Let's hope that meeting goes ahead at Newbury. I'm looking out the window here. We're covered in snow. When we started this podcast, there was nothing on the ground. It's now covered. I'm covered in snow. Great. Okay, let's look where hopefully Navan is fine. Joe, you're closer to Navan than I am, and you've had a look at the Navan card. I asked you to look at a couple of graded races, the Webster Cup and also the Flying Bolt Novice Chase, and you have, but you've got one later in the card as well, so the floor is yours for Navan.
Yeah, Flying Bolt even is an interesting race. Bland's Tower beat Blood Destiny, a bit of a shock result. Blood Destiny was beaten at 5-2 on. That was over 2.5 miles of Punchestown. Now Splans Tower has to give Blood Destiny £7, and it's over 2 miles, which you'd imagine is going to suit Blood Destiny a bit better than Splans Tower. So I think you'd be hoping anyway and expecting Blood Destiny to reverse the form at Splans Tower there. Journey With Me is in the Webster Cup. Be interesting to see how he gets on after a long layoff. He's first time tongue tie as well, which is one to take note. But I actually fancy one of the last races, the 458. It's a mare's handicap chase. There's a couple in here that you can poke holes in. Shopping Around is pulled up last time out. She's Some Doll was pulled up last time out. Jumping Jet was in that race, won by Marsh Renna Thurless. She's down in class here. She's only rated 109. You'd imagine they were black type hunting last time out, but she's kind of hasn't got her head in front for a long time. And the one that I'd be kind of keeping an eye on as well would be Declan Queeley's Intersky Sunset. Was heavily gambled on at Clonmel in January, went off 130 favourite and finished third that day. Was definitely disappointing, but then came out of Clonmel again on heavy ground, like borderline unraceable ground. She was third again. Clicarla's Big Gym, like, if you watch that back online, they were walking home that day. It was really, really bad ground, and she's turned out 2 weeks later. So I think it was hard to fancy her, and Kate's Hill for the Dempsey's the one that stands out for me. Really, really sweetener now. Look, she's been running really well. She was second to Money Heist on handicap debut off 102 and then came out and won off 105 and was just beaten a neck last time out. But the pieces go on now and she's improved for the step up to 2.5 miles. She'll definitely hand the ground. Hopefully get somewhere around a 2-1 mark, Kate's Hill. I'd be really, really sweetening her.
Okay. Really sweetened Kate's Hill. Tissue price 6-4, but that's just a tissue. Off the same tissue I was reading yesterday, they had flanking maneuver favor for the flying bolt. So there's a lot to be said. And they now have it 6-1 and even money, Blood Destiny. So I think they can probably have a few conversations like you guys do on IrishRacing.com. Right, that is Navin. Before we get Nav's next best, there's the Super Saturday card at Maidan on Saturday. Now, I'm not going to let you go after a 16-1 winner in the Middle East last week. Joe, go on, give us I'll allow you to have an 8-1 winner this time if you have to go that low.
The 1240, I believe it's a double extra place. Paddy Power Online PK, extra place in retail as well. It's Laurel River is the one that stands out for me. Formerly trained by Bob Baffert, he's a Group 2 winner in Del Mar and was kind of well touted for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile in 2022, I think it was, but he was scratched by the vet. Few good judges of US racing were putting him up at the time. But look, he's over in Maidan now, trained by Seymour, and made his Maidan debut at the end of January. But look, he went off a short, really, really sharp price favourite, over 6 furlongs, and it was well beaten, but he was coming off a 516-day break. So look, again, he's entitled to come on for that run. He's always been campaigned as a miler, 7-furlong horse, so don't think you can take too much out of a run over 6 furlongs. Tygo Shea's booked. He's top rated in the field. Somewhere around 6-7-1, I'd be hoping. Be definitely playing him each way. He's drawn a bit wide, but look, on back form, on reputation, he's a horse that should be entitled to improve. So Laurel River for me.
Yes, he's 7-1 at the time of recording. And as it is a group race, it's not a handicap. There's lots of runners. 5 places I'm seeing on paddypower.com. You're dead right. So that could be a huge each way knocking bet. 7-1 for Laurel River in those Judmont Silks. Okay. That's Saturday's racing wrapped up. Lovely stuff. We now need best bets on Saturday. And if they're at Newbury, give me a second one. If they're at Navin, maybe give me a second one as well. I'm going to go to you, Rory, first.
I am going to stick with Black Hawk Eagle in the Moor Battle Hurdle at Kelso. That's a 250. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of a drift. Again, because he's been, as I said, punted from about 12-1 into fives. They might come for something else on the day, and that any harm in asking is in there, isn't he?
Oh, he's in that race, is he?
Old horses who've beaten Constitution Hill double starts in that, but not for me. I think Black Hawk Eagle has been very well campaigned by Kerry Lee, who is a pretty shrewd operator, and I think he will take this.
Lovely. Black Hawk Eagle in the 250 Kelso, the Nap. Joe?
Kate's Hill at Navin, the last one. I just made the case for there. Look, she's improved a step up to 2.5 miles. We'll handle the ground. Again, you can poke holes in the field, but as I look out my window here, about 20-minute drive from Navin, it's heavily snowing. So I'll give you a backup just in case, and that would be a Lunar Discovery. Where is she running?
Doncaster.
The 310, yeah. Lunar Discovery, yeah. Look, like I said, she looks to be clearly the best horse in the race, top rated, getting weight off the second top rated. Form's pretty solid, and she, like I said, she looked slow over 2.5 miles, stepping up to 3 miles, and Charlotte Jones makes the journey. So, yeah, Lunar Discovery.
Yeah, if there was racing in Wicklow today, we'll be going ahead. So Black Hawk Eagle for Rory, his best bet on Saturday. Kate's Hill at Navin hopefully goes ahead. If it doesn't, move that Nap to Lunar Discovery. Great stuff, lads, as ever. What is the plan for the weekend? We're getting close to Cheltenham now. Joe, you working? Working?
Working all weekend, yeah. Working till next Thursday, actually, PK. So I have a 7-day stint ahead of me, so looking forward to it.
I can tell. I can set the old sarcasmatron here has got off the charts. Looking forward to it indeed. 7-day stint.
Yeah,
we don't do that in my department. Thank you very much. Rory, your plans for the weekend?
I should be nursing a sick child after this, and probably catching the racing on telly tomorrow. I did think about going to Newbury, but I think that's even thinking about it makes it more likely to be called off.
Yeah,
by that work.
Don't put any plans in to go. There you go. Yeah. And it might happen, and then just say, do you know, if it's on, I'll go. But don't book anything, essentially. Then
hopefully the boys will be well enough to go riding on Sunday.
Okay.
You never know. Might have a couple of jockeys here at some stage.
Okay. And so your son is unfortunately unwell, but hopefully he'll be okay. He'll be
yeah, but he's a tough lad. Good stuff.
Who are the jockeys are going to come in coming over?
No, no jockeys coming over. My boys are going to. They've been taking riding lessons.
Ah, very good.
You know, a lot of promise there.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting road to send your kids down. Look at that. Good luck with that. Okay, cool. Right, lads. Well, look, enjoy your weekend. Joe, just, you know, keep working, keep the company going. Fair play to you.
Yeah, week before Cheltenham PK, things are hotting up now.
Oh, tell you, it is. I'm already exhausted, I'll be honest. Gold Cup day, I'm just going to collapse somewhere. On a plane. Right, have a great weekend, everyone. We'll be back on Monday, the big Paddy Power preview. I didn't mention that earlier. Don't forget, all social channels. We've got the Cheltenham preview with Tony Mullins, Ruby Walsh, Paddy Power, Lydia Hislop, Johnny Dineen. I think I haven't forgotten anyone. And that'll be live on all social channels at 7:30 on Monday. And then I believe myself and Frank are going to do Frank's little preview. He's going to have a look at the festival as well. And that'll be out Wednesday afternoon, evening as well. So watch out for both of those on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Have a great weekend, everyone. Let's hope all racing goes ahead. And let's hope that you back a few winners.